In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope your Thursday is going beautifully. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you.
It is going beautifully. Thank you very much.
I'm very glad to hear that. Yeah. Very glad to hear that.
Figgy, how about you?
It's going great, man.
Beautifully.
I'm not going to lie. And I will apologize now because I feel like it might have happened once or twice. If you hear me coughing, one of them days, ladies and gentlemen, one of them days, as I pop a Power Mint in
there
my mouth.
There we go.
It's funny. One of these promos, are you coughing in one of the promos we had?
Am I?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It's a Jake Myers promo. It sounded like you was coughing in the background.
So that was a couple of days ago. I might have been coughing.
Might have to investigate and see.
Yeah, okay, yes, do the investigation. But I plead not guilty.
Yeah.
But how about this? Speaking of something I am guilty of, is every time we start talking about the offense, what do I make sure to use as a disclaimer here, Lopez?
What is your disclaimer?
My disclaimer is, but I don't know what this offense actually is going to look like, right? I think that there's...
No one does. We can guess.
Right.
We can speculate.
And so let's do a little bit of speculation, because I was trying to think and dig a little deeper on this, because, you know, at some point I do need to, you know, suss out and feel out what it could be, and of course... We can just wait and see what it looks like, but we can try and give ourselves a little bit of a feel of what that offense could be. All right, so Nick Haley coming in. Obviously, we've talked about his couple of influences, right? There is the last few years that he's played in, or rather played. He's been a coach under Sean McVay in Los Angeles. And Sean McVay's offense is an offshoot of kind of a West Coast type offense. Like that you have a lot of those principles within what's happening there. And then you go to his time that he worked under McDaniel there in New England.
Yeah.
Under what is, and I always forget what the damn name of this offense is. And so, of course, as I get ready to say, I think it's Earnhardt Perkins offense. But, I mean, we can just, for our purposes, call it, you know, really more of just the New England offense.
Yeah,
right?
I'm about to say, I never even heard that one. Oh, man, I just call it the Patriots way.
Yeah, right. And, of course... With Josh McDaniel, like they found, you know, various ways of playing this differently, right? And so with those offenses, to my understanding, and I probably should have gotten John Harris on the phone, like just for his baseball mind, but there you go. Yeah. Like that is the football experience that you get from John Harris. But like, you know, the West Coast offense is gonna be a lot more kind of shorter passing situations, get the ball out quickly, and those types of things compared to what the New England Patriots have done, at least passing-wise. I haven't even talked about the rushing game, but passing-wise is what I've been thinking on. And if you kind of think about what the Patriots do or what the Patriots have done, it's a lot more intensive on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more kind of option routes, things that require your wide receivers to be on point with reading the defense and, you know, obviously your quarterback to be an orchestrator of what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And I think both of these come with a certain level of pro and con. with this. So I kind of wanted to examine which one, if it is indeed one or both, or like it leans more to one rather than the mm-hmm. other, mm-hmm. which of those would be more preferable? Like the West Coast offense, where I think that that would benefit the likes of Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
Benefit the likes of Jalen Knoll. I mean, obviously, even Nico Collins, we've seen how when he gets the ball in flat spaces, in short spaces, he has the athleticism, the burst to be able to find mm-hmm. find room and make explosive plays. I do also, though, wonder, does that also help the offensive line getting the ball out quickly? But does that also limit what you're doing offensively? Does that then kind of, is that a little bit, can it be a little predictable? Is it something that's limiting versus what New England does where it does feel like it fits some of the descriptions that have been had, like C.J. Stroud getting up there and saying, I'm going to have more control of this mm-hmm. offense. That sounds somewhat like Tom Brady controlling that offense, right? Is it going to be in the game plan nature of it? The versatility, that sounds like Josh McDaniels mm-hmm. running that offense. But at the same time, that's going to require Nick Caley to be on his game when it comes to really finding the right game plan per time compared to Josh McDaniels, who has a lot of experience. It's going to require wide receivers when you're looking at having probably two rookie wide receivers impact your offense very, very frequently and in a big way, having to be very attuned to what defenses are doing and how to run off of them. And then also, I think that that's going to require C.J. Stroud. Like, I think we believe C.J. Stroud to be a very smart guy, a very capable guy of doing that. Mm-hmm. But how much would be too much of putting responsibility on him? I think those are the ways that I view both of those. Is there one that is more appealing to you?
Well, as soon as you brought this up, you know, that we wanted to talk about this, I started thinking it can kind of be both. And I think it will be pieces of both. And the biggest reason is, Nick Caley's biggest influence, I feel, with the Patriots way, and I know we all kind of cringe, you know, when we hear that, but, you know, the Patriots style of offense, I think it's going to be more prevalent in the run game. I really do. And I've said this, and I don't mean it as an insult. His history, his background is not a lot of passing game, you know, creativity as a passing game, you know, sort of coach, play caller.
I know you've said that before, but it just kind of seems wild considering that his position in LA was the pass game coordinator.
Yeah, but there are a lot of reasons that you can get that title and not necessarily, like Sean McVay ran the passing game.
Certainly.
I mean, I don't think anybody would say that. No one would argue that, right?
Yeah.
But I think what he did is as passing game coordinator was be involved, you know, maybe in some of that. But I keep going back to this. He came in and they kept Gerard Johnson as the quarterback's coach.
Okay.
And that is a guy. That's why I think it can be a combo, kind of a combo platter of the two things. He knows the run game. He knows blocking schemes as a tight ends coach. He knows the offensive line. He kept Cole Popovich, you know, who also has that New England background,
right?
You know, in terms of the run game. When it comes to the passing game, make no mistake, it's his offense. He's going to call the plays, but I think he's going to lean heavily on what do you think, you know, what do you want to do? C.J. Stroud, what do you think, Gerard Johnson? How can we implement that in our offense? But I think ultimately what it's going to come down to in the passing game is I don't think there's any question that C.J. Stroud probably wants to have a bigger say in things. That doesn't mean he has to be Tom Brady. You know, how many Tom Bradys are there?
And that and that's the thing that I tend to agree with you, right? Yeah. You mentioned Cole Popovich and his influence being there, again, mm-hmm. Largely in what New England has done. I think I lean so heavily on C.J. Stroud saying with great confidence in that presser that he had an opportunity to talk to the assembled media that he was going to put his thumb on this offense. That also feels like being able to step up to the line and, you know, kind of dictate what's happening, have power, which, again, feels a lot like that New England offense. Also, another thing I was thinking about is, again, with the West Coast offense, I don't typically think nearly as much about attacking downfield, mm-hmm. which I think, you will have more opportunities to.
And you have to with your receivers.
Right, and mm-hmm. I think that that's something that CJ wants, and I think that's something that you want to be able to do with these receivers. And it also, again, pointing to what this 8-3-2 texter points out, whichever offense turns CJ into the point guard that he is, and I think that's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
That's where I'm starting to lean more mm-hmm. towards mm-hmm. that it kind of looks. And, of course, there's going to be a mashup in there, but that brings me back to the questions that I have there, mm-hmm. which is how comfortable are you then if that's a situation with more responsibility on your wide receivers? Also, like, there's a graduation there.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite the possibility that not only does the quarterback have more responsibility, the wide receivers do in analyzing what's happening and making the right decision.
Yeah.
and whatever communication happens within those places, that opens up more opportunities for breakdown of communication. So that's going to require even more of a step up between CJ and the guys that are in that room to be on their P's and Q's. And that's a wide receiver room that, if we're being completely honest, of the guys that I think we all feel comfortable knowing are going to be greatly involved, there's one of those guys that's played before with CJ.
Nico Collins. Absolutely. But I think, you know, you can be in a place where you don't have to be Tom Brady, but you still have control at the line of scrimmage. And I think what he really wants control of is not just like being on the same page with the wide receivers and giving them the Aaron Rodgers wink and both of them know, you know, exactly what to do. I think it's as much as just protection, calling out protections, making sure you have confidence to be able to do that. And you have not deliberate predetermined options. Like, he wants to be able to say, I want to throw the ball here, so I'm going to change the play.
Sure.
You know?
And I do think that is something that would be in tow if it's, like, leans primarily to what New England has done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just keep looking at that. But the one thing that I keep coming back to as well, if you are going there, and, I mean, this is something that we kind of have had with the phrase game plan offense, is I think that you're going, it becomes more variable, at least in the way that Josh McDaniels has done it, and maybe it just looks differently. But that, again, leans even more heavily upon a first-time play caller to have the right decisions in a lot of these circumstances. And yes, you have C.J. Stroud as a backdrop, as Bobby Slowick talked about last year, to make his answers right. You know, so sometimes get up to the line, and if what was called is not right, be able to audible, be able to move things around to a play that you know has a chance of success. But again, C.J. Stroud is also still a third-year player. And again, I'm not trying to cast any aspersions to his ability to do this. I think that my offensive philosophy this whole offseason was, man, I would love to mitigate some of the question marks. And it feels like when it comes to the way that they handle the offensive line, and now if I am indeed right in this kind of exercise that we're doing, that you go more towards the New England way, there's more question marks on how that offense functions to maximum efficiency, especially when you talk about, as we were talking about, starting off with the Rams, playing a lot of these high leverage teams in the AFC on the road. Like, those types of things, those are things that kind of get me thinking a lot and maybe not finding resolutions or answers that I love in those moments.
I frankly trust C.J. Stroud.
That's where it falls out. I'm just going to trust C.J. Stroud.
I mean, if you're going to have a franchise quarterback and you say it's only his third year, which is accurate, but I'm like, it's his third year. like, there's two ways to look at that. It's his third year. I understand, you know, it's his second offensive coordinator and all that.
First in a new system. It's operating at its top, is an advanced one.
If he's a franchise quarterback, he's thrown for 4,000 yards in this league already. He wants this. You know, you have to believe in C.J. Stroud making the right calls here. You have to do it. I mean, that's the whole idea of drafting him.
Yeah, you know? I think that's fair. And 832, great point also being brought in, talking about, Christian Kirk running option routes and being utilized as a weapon. And that's the place where, I mean, I feel great about Nico Collins making those decisions. I feel pretty damn good about Christian Kirk making those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I stop and I go, I don't think I feel bad about the rookies coming in, but it's also maybe unfair to ask them to immediately be great at that. So all of these things are things that are bouncing around in my head. And look, any new offense is going to come with its challenges. I'm not here operating in a place where I'm asking them to come in with something that's going to work perfectly right from jump. That's an unfair expectation.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking on what is most likely and what are the challenges that might be there in those instances. And on top of the idea that New England loves using them tight ends, don't they?
That and as well.
We've talked about how that's going to be an issue probably no matter what offensive system you get, that you don't have a very well-rounded tight end to factor in the way that goes. And that's another place where Nick Caley is going to have to be innovative and creative on top of the every week game planning or whatever what you're doing, is also how are you going to be creative in using these tight ends in a way that's not going to mirror the ways that tight ends were used up there in New England.
No, that's absolutely true. But, you know, it doesn't have to be the extreme one direction or the other. And I think maybe that's where a lot of people might have worry in terms of C.J. Stroud. Oh, my gosh, you know, he, as you mentioned, third-year player, has a lot to put on him. That's fair. But he's not going to be Peyton Manning out there, you know, calling the entire game. All he wants is to have a little more control where he had none last year. There are stories of him coming off the field and just like, I wanted to do this, but this was my only other option. And, you know, it doesn't have to be Peyton Manning. There is a sweet spot in there, you know?
No, and I agree to that. Yeah. And I want to make this more clear because I don't think I was. When I talk about him being a third-year player, and I know somebody's pointing to the idea that Clint has said, hey, man, third year, you should know these things. Yeah. It's not necessarily about can he handle it
it's a vacuum.
Yeah. It's can he also be so good that he helps mitigate the things that a first-year play caller might also have issues with. Because it works a little different if you have an experience. Like, you have Matt Stafford as your quarterback doing whatever you're doing, and then you have Nick Caley where you go, all right, Nick Caley coming in things, but wherever he misses, I feel confident about this veteran quarterback over here maybe picking up the slack. I don't know that I can say that, especially as C.J. Stroud is also picking up whatever offense this is. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I'm talking about are little, you know, points of potential failure, sure. I guess, is the way that I'm thinking about it.
No, these are all questions that we're gonna be watching and wondering about and worrying about in some cases. What I believe is ultimately the case is if they're going to have a good if Nick Caley is going to be a good offensive coordinator, he's going to manage the run game to a much better degree than it was in the past, not just Joe Mixon creating his own things. And he's going to trust C.J. Stroud enough that he can make an adjustment on the field from the play that was called. That is not, I don't think that's asking too much. You know, you don't have to be, like I said, you don't have to be an offensive coordinator out there. Just we trust you to make the right decision and change the play if you need to.
Yeah, and so I think you're right also. I was talking with John Harris a little bit about it to pick his football mind, and he kind of goes, lean towards that New England, but also still have some of these West Coast principles that
would
benefit.
Yeah, it'd be a combo.
And I mean, of course, I don't think there are any like pure, this is a pure West Coast system in the year 2025. I think that we have had so much intermingling of all these things that you can talk about the very basis, and then you find principles that go all the way around. Just trying to ponder on what that could look like and what some of those other portions of it, the unintended consequences of some sorts that could come along with whatever decision is made with Nick Caley coming in.
Yeah, I think the good thing about this is he's been around, so he's been in different offenses, so he could take some of everything and just put it into and make it what they say the Texans offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's probably right to just lean on the idea of got to trust C.J. Stroud, the intelligence that he brings, the athleticism that he brings, and trust that it comes together pretty quickly. I think that's the other thing that I think about. If Nick Caley is here for multiple years, though, I do love the New England side as opposed to like more of a West Coast-based side when you talk about year over year, like into that second year. Mm-hmm. Then that's something. But, I mean, you can't think that far ahead. It's got to be what can you do in the 2025 season and how can you push towards a Super Bowl. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time for us to do our lunchtime confessions, which are brought to you by the Men's Clinic, and we will do those next.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Life offers us choices. When shopping for a luxury SUV, you should have the same benefit. The 2025 Lincoln Corsair SUV offers a traditional gas powertrain and the plug-in hybrid grand touring model. The spirit of choice continues with several available features to leave you reinvigorated, including perfect position massaging front seats, the jet appearance package, panoramic vista roof, and more. With an impressive list of both standard and available features, the right choice becomes clear. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary.
When a cold has you down, it's the little comforts that lift you up. A warm blanket, a cup of tea, and a tissue that actually feels good on your skin. Infused with aloe, Kleenex Cooling Plus Aloe provides a hint of cooling freshness to help your skin feel restored. So, whether your skin is feeling dry, chafed, or irritated, you're only one wipe away from helping it feel relieved. So, the next time you have a cold, get a hint of instant cooling relief with new Kleenex Cooling Plus Aloe. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
And sometimes, you even surprise yourself with the confession you're about to make. And this is one of those in my case. So yesterday, I kind of surprised myself by, you know, sort of defending someone that I'm not really a big fan of what's his name?
Your man, RG3.
Your boy. I forgot that happened.
I'm not a big fan, but I defended him because I thought he was being unfairly portrayed, you know. But anyway, we're not talking about that. Today, I'm doing it again.
Oh, uh-oh.
I'm going to defend someone that I'm really not a big fan
Smokey
of.
Smokey, I thought you were going to say Smokey Robinson.
Gang banging.
You see the Kim Kardashian stuff that's making the rounds?
What do you mean, the Kim Kardashian? Why is the internet like this? Like, you could say something like this, and now I'm like...
It's like, any, it could be any number of things.
I got to go find out what the hell that what means.
Okay.
The Kim Kardashian stuff. All right, here we go. Let me pull up Kim Kardashian. What,
the first thing that's probably going
to... Oh, no, the first word is leak. Oh, no.
Oh, no, not that one.
Okay, all right. Wait, so there was a leak, too? What's happening?
She announced that she graduated from law school.
Hey, congratulations
after
to her.
6 years, she announced that she graduated from law school. And then, look at this. In her backyard, she had the people come over. She bought the little mortarboard and the robe.
Oh, that's nice.
And had a little private graduation.
That's nice.
For graduating law school. One problem, and this is the part I'm not defending. She didn't graduate from law school.
Yeah, I'm looking at this community note right now.
Oh, God.
Saying the same thing, yeah.
She didn't graduate from law school. But here's where I'm going to defend her.
Wait, can you press pause real quick?
Yeah.
If she didn't graduate from law school, what did she graduate from?
Okay, glad you asked. In California, and I looked it up, four other states, you can go and intern for several years and do the legwork at law offices.
So it's like an apprenticeship more.
It's more of an apprenticeship.
Got you.
It's not law school, no teachers, no classes, no professors. So she didn't. She had this graduation in her backyard with the hat and the robe and all that. But I'm going to defend her because if you're Kim Kardashian, you think there's going to be a few distractions if you actually go to law school. Now, in this apprenticeship program, once you complete it, and I guess you have to, like, you know, whatever, work on different cases and all this other stuff and all this, you can take the bar.
Okay.
So she can become a lawyer. She's done what it takes with this apprenticeship to become a lawyer. She just didn't graduate law school. I don't think she should have gone to law school. She should have gone this way from the beginning because she would have been the ultimate, that would have been paparazzi. That would have been like any law school in California. So, like, as much as you can't defend, I graduated from law school because she didn't. I'm going to defend her. She still did everything it took to maybe take the bar.
So you feel like this was probably the easiest way for her crazy life to pursue this?
Yes,
100%. Rather than being in the dorm or and just going to school like a normal person.
And going to classes. I mean, there would have been people outside taking selfies and, you know, all this other stuff.
They got them over themselves eventually.
Well, they would. But what I'm saying is she did do the 6 years of studying under several attorneys. Just don't put on the graduation outfit and give yourself a graduation.
Now, here's the thing. I think more importantly, and in this day and age, I don't know how you do that. Maybe just don't let us see it. Like that's for y'all at the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was just, you know, I don't know if that was a show. Do they still got the show going? Is that somebody who just took a video at the house when you told everybody to don't take no
videos? It
might
be part of the show.
Just don't let us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's taking a big interest in, like, social justice or whatever.
It seemed like she's really serious about this too. So
she is. That's why I'm defending
her. That's where I would give her credit too, because she could have easily just jumped off this bandwagon a long time ago.
The comments are great on it though. You didn't graduate from bleep. Well, and to be clear, just like RG3, I'm not the biggest fan, but I got to defend her on this.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine.
It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Life offers us choices. When shopping for a luxury SUV, you should have the same benefit. The 2025 Lincoln Corsair SUV offers a traditional gas powertrain and the plug-in hybrid grand touring model. The spirit of choice continues with several available features to leave you reinvigorated, including perfect position massaging front seats, the jet appearance package, panoramic vista roof, and more. With an impressive list of both standard and available features, the right choice becomes clear. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary.
When a cold has you down, it's the little comforts that lift you up. A warm blanket, a cup of tea, and a tissue that actually feels good on your skin. Infused with aloe, Kleenex Cooling Plus Aloe provides a hint of cooling freshness to help your skin feel restored. So, whether your skin is feeling dry, chafed, or irritated, you're only one wipe away from helping it feel relieved. So, the next time you have a cold, get a hint of instant cooling relief with new Kleenex Cooling Plus Aloe. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
All right. I am somehow not beating, but also beating the allegations. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am beating the allegations here to some degree.
What's the allegation?
You will hear this in a moment, right? So I was up early this morning, in part just because, you know, woke up and was like, finding it hard to get sleep. And I was, you know, looking at various things. And I found myself at a certain point reading a kind of academic paper.
Oh, Lord.
By Rachel Kaplan, who is a newly hired Dolphins analytics assistant.
Oh, Lord. I knew it was coming.
About the effects of tight end motion on the run game.
Okay.
What did I tell
you? What we got? Stuff plus?
No, it's BSLMNOP. Is that the stat?
It is. It's still not a thing. But yes, I was early this morning. I'm talking about before 6 a.m. at the very least. Mm-hmm. Reading about some analytics and stuff.
Tight end what?
The effects of tight end motion on the run game. So like using the tight end in motion, does it actually get you benefits in the run game?
Man.
It's look.
Nick Caserio is probably like, woo, this is too much.
Yeah, I'm not beating the allegations there.
Nick Caserio.
I'm not beating the allegations there. I know. No, there's a lot of people that are like, Nick Caserio, if they see that headline, they're like, no, thank you.
Actually,
I say headline. Yeah. I saw a tweet about it and then I went and found the paper because that wasn't published in Athletic or nothing like that. However, it's definitely nerdy. However, this is how I am beating the allegation.
All right.
Bro, I was lost as hell. I did not know what I was reading, brother. I was reading it, and I read it again, and I rubbed the crust out of my eye. I read it a third time, and I did appreciate, though, that they did summarize it for anybody that is curious.
I like the summaries.
For anybody that is curious.
Explain to me like I'm five.
There we go. Yeah. Here we go. That creation, creation through tight end motion is not a strong predictor of play success. So just because like tight ends, if you're just moving the tight end, that's not going to necessarily mean that you're going to get better running.
Now
you know, because I'm a sicko that was deciding to read a little bit about.
So next time I see motion in the tight end in motion, I'm going, that doesn't mean nothing.
That doesn't, it doesn't necessarily mean. I think there's going to be more analysis done on it to see if there's more specifics. But as of right now, it does not seem like moving.
And that's specifically the tight end.
Tight ends, particularly.
Not like receivers.
No. That's a whole different study. Yeah, okay.
It's actually left-handed tight ends.
I don't like you.
With blonde hair.
I already said I wasn't beating the allegations, okay? Gosh, that was the confession part.
Man, so whenever I'm usually the guy, if somebody asks, hey, do you need anything? I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't this time. I got to confess. Shout out to T-Mill.
Mm-hmm.
So T-Mill shot me and all three of us a text message pretty much saying Luke is in for the drive. So
hey.
Luke could be in. I got Luke. And he said, I'm also picking up Trill Burger on the way in. Y'all want anything, boys?
Hey now.
I said, I hit him with the Clay Davis.
You're damn right I do.
From the wire.
Yeah, I said, don't say it. Don't say it. Yeah.
I said, yeah. I said, damn right I want some Trill Burger, man.
Bring me what'd you order?
The Triple OG.
Of course.
Triple OG meal, yeah.
Which is funny because I sent the exact same text at the same time, and I didn't realize that we had sent the same. Like, this isn't like
you
one of us read the
other. Too?
We said the exact same
thing.
We
said, like, look at our text. Yeah. It's the exact same text, and I didn't even see his text.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I hit sent, Reggie text came in, and then mine went through. So we pretty much text the same thing. But I'm usually not the guy that's like, oh, yeah, get me this. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, bring it.
Yeah, I kind of want.
I was already almost done with my BLT, so I said I'm good.
Ah man, you gonna miss out on the OG.
Hey, homemade BLT. Don't sleep on that.
compared to the triple OG, I don't know about that one.
If I'm being completely honest, I probably would have taken it had I not started my sandwich. I love me a good conspiracy theory. You guys know that by now. I heard a juicy one yesterday.
Okay. All right.
And it has to do with the NFL. So I have a friend who, let's just say, follows or knows about the Green Bay Packers.
Uh-oh.
Get this. Plausible, and I'm leaning toward, I totally believe this. This person said that the reason the Green Bay Packers put in the proposal on the rules change for the tush push was as a favor to the league.
Yeah.
For the NFL draft.
Oh.
For giving them the NFL draft. And because the league didn't want a singular owner as the face of the rule.
I think I hypothesized this recently.
You guessed that.
I could see that.
But they said, hey, we'll give you the draft.
Okay, so that's the conspiracy part, that there's like a quid pro quo about the actual transaction.
But
there.
Do this next year. Or whenever, you know, whenever it was.
That part I'm not sure about because
I'm
I felt like Green Bay could have did a draft anytime, to be honest, because it's Green Bay. But I do feel like the NFL was like, hey, y'all put this in because we don't want to place blame on one owner or one team.
See, now I got to be careful because they did host it and they did a bang up job from everything I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
However, coming in, I don't know how you decided that Green Bay was a place you went to before you went to numerous other NFL cities as you was taking this thing on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this would offer a plausible reason as to why you choose Green Bay before some of these other ones. I just don't believe that it's that in particular. But I am here on the idea that the NFL looked around, particularly the owners, right? In the same way we were talking about Jim Irsay passing. Jim Irsay is one of those guys that is very comfortable being out here. Like, I'll say the thing that none of y'all are. You know how, like, you be talking about someone with friends? Like, how do we break it to them? You had that one friend? Like, I'll tell them. Jim Irsay is that friend. Rest in peace, obviously. But I think when it comes to something like Tush Push, knowing that it was going to be as controversial as it was, I think that they didn't want anybody to be the face of it. So they're like, why not the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, because they don't have a face owner. It's obviously several. Several people. This person told me this, and I was like, huh, I'm in.
I can see that.
I buy it. Yeah.
All right, so it seems like Pat McAfee got the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley's Cup, in his studio today.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see the Stanley Cup, I have the same thought, which is, how in the absolute bleep do people think when they see that, I'm trying to drink something out of that? Like, I get to some degree. Like, it is a bowl. It is the you know, early or the, you know, mid-aughts.
It's legendary.
It's the late-aughts, you know, meme, if it fits I sits or whatever. If I could put some beer in there, I'll drink out of it or what have you.
Yeah.
But my problem is, I don't care how much they clean it. Knowing the things that we know people have done with the Stanley Cup, can you imagine the things that we don't know that people have done with the Stanley Cup? Ain't enough dish soap. Ain't enough sanitizer.
Sanitary wipes.
Ain't enough wipes. Ain't enough steam cleaners. Ain't enough nothing for me to put my lips upon the Stanley Cup in order to drink out of it, because only God knows what you contract in that moment. Like, every time I see it, that is exactly where my brain goes. And is that kind of illogical? Probably. But I just, it might even be one of those things where if I drink out of it, knowing that it's clean, the placebo effect is enough to get me sick, because I know people have done some dastardly stuff with that thing. They have to have.
I'd drink out of it. Would you?
I wouldn't. Now, however,
I'd clean the hell out of it.
let's say Houston get a team and they win the Stanley Cup. I would sip lean, not the Stanley Cup. Just to say, I sip lean, not the Stanley Cup.
I hear you there, because that is a really, really good.
And what is your beverage of choice?
That's a bar. That's a bar right there. I know somebody from Houston gonna say it.
Yeah. This man puts promethazine in there. Yeah, like if you a rapper,
sipping
that's the ultimate
lean,
bar,
not
bro.
The Stanley Cup. I can hear Slim Thug saying that.
Yeah. Oof, copyright okay. That.
Yeah, I don't. I'm still not drinking out of it. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's do a little buy or sell. Are you buying what these various people in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. Big shouts out to Sean Pendergast. Always working, man. Always working. All right, let's do a little bit of buy or sell here. It is a Thursday here in the loop, and that's what we like to do. Yeah. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are selling? 713-572-4610. Play along as we get to be the judge, jury, and I don't think executioner counts. I don't want to say none of that. But of what these things that were said in sports are.
I don't want to.
I am not Seth.
This ain't paying the Pentagon.
No bullets. No go die. We're not doing that here.
All right, let's start with a little local flavor here. Joe Espada is going to make back-to-back appearances on Buy or Sell. The first one, Ronel Blanco has, quote, elbow soreness.
I mean, buy. It's clearly going to be elbow soreness. The problem is,
what elbow is sore?
That's what I'm saying. What does the soreness, what is underneath all that? That is always the issue.
How do you fix the soreness is the question.
Yeah.
How long will it take?
Does it involve a surgery with two first names? Right. Like that is the question that you have there.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is that you very easily could lean into the idea that it is indeed Tommy John. I got to admit, I kind of want to give the Astros a little credit here, because does it feel like this particular Ronel Blanco like injury had any of the mess that we kind of blame them for at times? Like, yes, it's a problem that it's just an injury in itself. But as soon as they found out, very clear about what it is, as far as they know.
That's true.
They moved quickly on it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And so,
which actually tells me to lean more that it's really bad.
I respect this, them doing this, because usually they be like, oh, he's just getting some rest.
The Wesneski thing.
Yeah, string it alone, man.
Yeah. All right, Joe Spada again on buy or sell. Yordan Alvarez is, quote, getting close.
That I'm selling.
Yeah.
I'm selling that too. As much as I try and operate from a place of hopium when it comes to the Astros, which, I mean, you can laugh at me if you think that that's stupid. That is actually probably fair and fine. I have a visceral reaction to close, because what does that actually mean?
Well, yeah, what is it?
That doesn't mean a damn thing for me oftentimes.
Yeah, close to what? Close to playoffs?
I don't know.
Close to August?
Especially once we've
been close to missing some more time.
What are we 9 days beyond what was the day where, you know, the end of his IL stint could have been? And he's hitting off a tee and we're still trying to figure. Yeah, don't tell me he's close.
That's kind of like when my wife say, "Hey, where are you?" And I'm running behind. Oh, I'm close.
Yeah, yeah.
To be fair, also, right? I don't think that he's getting out here like, "Hey, guys, and here is your quote about Yordan." I mean, he's being asked, and so it's not an enviable position to get into that place and be like, "I ain't got nothing for you." So I understand that. Hey, my best thing is this is what I got for you. But yeah, no, I'm selling it.
Man,
so.
they just take it to another level. And you know what's frustrating with Yordan in particular? He's in the dugout. Like, he's in the dugout wearing that little training shirt or whatever. I'm like, well, maybe he is close. I'm like, what am I saying? He's not close. What am I
He's
doing?
Close to the action because he's in the dugout. See?
Yeah. So I am selling that one as well. All right. So earlier we were talking about, the Jonathan Alexander story.
Danielle Lerner. Shout out to the Houston Chronicle.
About the Texans have explored the option of a new stadium, and there's a couple of options out there perhaps for the event center and all that. Well, one thing that Leslie Briones, who is the Precinct 4 commissioner of Harris County, kind of one of the voices in what's going on with the county and NRG.
Sure.
She told the Chronicle last week, and this is the one that kind of stood out to me, that the Texans and county leadership have engaged in conversations with the Texans. This is the quote, though, buy or sell. When she was asked about the prospect of the Texans staying in Harris County, she said, we'll see.
Ooh. Well, I don't even know how to buy or sell that, because that is probably one of the most cynical responses that you can give in that circumstance, yeah, right?
We'll see.
That is not, we are hopeful for that. We are excited. We feel like that is, there's a good chance of that. That is just, that is the word equivalent of the sound.
I'm kind of buying that, because I think she don't, I think that's a perfect example of I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So we will see together.
Mm-hmm. I'm buying it. I know where I stand on this. I think they've had a very strategic approach to this whole thing. It's going perfectly according to plan. They've already reportedly, sort of reached out for a stadium and to other places. And they're also trying to negotiate in good faith, I'm guessing, with the county to redo this area over here. So she knows that they've done all these things, if in fact they have. So we'll see.
And in a way, like, if you think about this in a baseball perspective, they already had the starting pitcher for a long time and working on this. And then they went to the bullpen and got the closer. They were like, oh, get the fireballer. Mike Toman, who's worked with the Cowboys to develop that thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, let's bring him in. Like, that's what this feels like, where they're like, all right, so we weren't getting no movement here. Let's go get the big guns. And Mike Toman comes in. And I can't imagine that Mike Toman comes in, to your point, and is like, we're just going to push harder on the same thing we were on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. All right, you buying or selling this? Former Royals general manager Dayton Moore said that Jeff Luhnow called him and offered Jose Altuve for Eric Hosmer in 2013, I believe is when it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buying it. I don't know what reason I would have to sell it. Mm-hmm. I guess the question I have is, why did that not get pulled? Why did that trigger not get pulled in that moment?
Yeah.
And I guess the answer is probably easy. That is a small dude that you're hoping turns into the Jose Altuve that he actually did turn into. Like, that's part of the fun of Jose Altuve, is how the hell did he turn into this?
Yeah. And they were wondering it here, even though he had a good start and all that. I mean, what's he going to be? Well, he's going to be legendary is what he is, but I'm buying it as well.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it too. I felt like that was Jeff Luhnow trying to get somebody more established and not sure what Jose Altuve was going to be, and just trying to see.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, not the quote that you mentioned earlier.
This he just was, got stuff happening in his life. You know, he got commitments.
that one. So Steelers insider quoted a Steelers executive as saying this. He told us, listen, I'm going to play for you. I just don't want to go there and then miss part of mandatory minicamp because of my personal issues. You buying that? He's told them I'm going to play for him?
And is that the quote that we got from his biographer there, or is that?
But from a Steelers executive, from a Steelers.
Oh, so a Steelers executive has said this now.
Told him, reportedly, told him this.
Told the
writer.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure that I got the sourcing correct on this.
That Aaron said, I call him Aaron.
Y'all close. Y'all be going fishing and such.
That Roger said, listen, I'm going to play for you.
Are we buying that part?
Yeah.
I'm buying it, because at this point, you would have decided that you were just going to retire, or you would have had some other negotiations, and there's no evidence of that. It does feel like, hey, this is the inevitable. He's just stringing this out for upside down question mark as reason. Like, I just don't know that portion of it, but it does feel like that's where it's going to happen, and it feels like those are the reasons that he's given, and that they track with what he ultimately goes on Pat McAfee and says, it just kind of strikes largely most of us as a dumb reason.
Yeah, I'm actually buying it too. I thought you was going somewhere else with the question. I thought you was probably going to set it up like his excuse for why he don't want to do it. I'm kind of buying that a little bit too, man, because right. I'm trying to, you know, I know he's a different cat, but I'm trying to put myself in that position where, like, do you really want to start with camp and all this other stuff and mm-hmm. then whoever close to him pass away, then now you got to leave?
Right.
That could be a big headache and a big thing going on.
That whole second part of that, I don't understand. I might have to leave training minicamp. It's like he's predicting it.
Well, you know? I did see, and I can't recall exactly where I saw it, so I want to be very careful about saying this. But if memory serves, I mm-hmm. saw somebody kind of quote it as he had someone in his life with cancer. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't recall exactly where I saw that, so I've got to be careful about what I've said.
Yeah, I actually saw that
as well. Okay.
Yeah.
And so if it's that, if it's like someone with a terminal illness, I could see how the kind of forecasting in that way
maybe
would show up. The only thing that's tough about that, and this is where it's kind of insensitive, and I acknowledge it, the football season is kind of on this hard schedule, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Even if you're in this place where you're like, damn, I might have to leave at some point, didn't you just get a feel a couple seasons ago of what the distinction is when you try and start the season with no real, not a lot of training camp, not a lot of OTAs, not a lot of rapport, mm-hmm. and you go into what you're doing? Even if you have to leave at some point, wouldn't you like to get in the building and mm-hmm. start building some of that rapport with a new system, new coaching staff, new teammates, even if you ultimately have to do a thing where you leave that I think a lot of people would understand and appreciate, like, hey, okay, go be with your people. Yeah. I think that's the place where I go, I don't think that I necessarily see his way on that.
That's the other thing too, man. A lot of people go through the same thing as well. Course. He's not the first person that went through something like this. Hell, you had people that their significant other had babies or going into labor.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people did miss a game, some people didn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you work around that.
And to be fair, people grieve differently. Like, I don't, again, want to be very careful about that. But I just, from the football perspective, which maybe he's just in a place in his career, in his life, especially as a dude like him that has not been all football, not mm-hmm. saying that he dislikes football, but he's got many other interests. Maybe he just gets to a place where he's like, I'm not so footballed in to where that is going to, I'm going to allow that to dictate my decision making. Yeah. But just, you can say that, I think.
I'm just wondering, where is the timeline at for this?
Right, well.
Because that the Steelers got to get going too, man. You can't stop the season and wait on him.
That leads to my answer on this. I'm going to buy that he said, listen, I'm going to play for you. I just don't know if that's true. Like, if he actually will. Because they have a schedule. He might back out. He might decide retirement. You know,
sure.
I'm sure he's told, yeah, I'm going to play for you.
Those are both from Aaron's side. You don't think that the Steelers back out at any time for this, right?
Well, they might be done in terms of, like, waiting, you know.
So they can run Will Howard out here?
Get Will Howard out there. All right, buy or sell this.
Okay, brother. Best of power. Best of luck to you, Steelers, if that's the plan, with all due respect.
Mary Kay Cabot reported that the Cleveland Browns have, quote, not closed the door on Deshaun Watson being their quarterback. I think he's just laughing.
Sell? Didn't the owner already call this a swing and a miss? that's not to say that, hey, man, we acknowledge that this is lost, but we can still find some salvage out of it. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, this is a kind of a PR circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You have already said this into the public world that we view you as a level of disappointment.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get back on the backside of this and like, all right, well, let's make this work. Like, I just feel like it's kind of in a very different way why arbitration is such a weird thing in baseball. It's mm-hmm. why all these guys have agents. It's like when you get to these instances where we have to have the hard conversation and the team that employs you has to say bad things about you, you would prefer them to say it to an arbiter, your third-party person, as opposed to your face.
Yeah.
And in a way, when you say it out in public, they have said it to his face. We find you to have been a flat-out disappointment mm-hmm. in this. Yeah, but we might get you out here and play quarterback. Yeah, I don't think that's how it works.
They haven't closed the door, Figgy?
I think they closed the door, but I think I think he kind of showed his cards a little too early
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, just because you're the owner don't mean you're a smart owner. I think he said a little too much during that time.
Yeah.
And teams usually don't really show their cards like that.
I'm just loving the fan reaction to that.
I'm just kind of like, honestly, I'm kind of curious at this point. Like, do we think he could come back this season?
I guess.
If he do decide to come back this season, I don't think they're going to be good this year. If he's healthy enough to come back towards the end, I think he will play.
I don't know. I think they have closed the door.
I think so too.
Oh well.
Oh boy, Brock Purdy can win in the NFL, then Will Howard can too. This is the thing that I hate about like the I guess what's the right word? the exceptional story, mm-hmm. is that it really, we stopped treating it as the exception, and now that is the thing that we chase. That was the thing that I pointed to with the Josh Allen thing. I am willing to acknowledge that this was a miracle where he went from a dude that was deeply inaccurate to a dude who actually is accurate with all the tools and everything. Mm-hmm. The problem is now you got teams like the Colts out here chasing, who was it that ended up getting Milrow or what have you?
Seattle.
That's right. Out here chasing the dude who's like, oh, he's got all the talent. We'll just make it happen like Josh Allen. No, yeah. The reason why that's incredible is that that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are now taking the anomaly and trying to make it the same. And I think we can fairly say that Brock Purdy's kind of the anomaly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, the thing is with Will Howard, I think it's a chance he might be okay. I don't think he's going to be as talented as anybody else, but being in Pittsburgh, I think he just – all he got to do is just not turn the ball over, maybe make simple stuff and not give the game up, and I think he'd be all right.
And here come nine wins. Because that's what the Steelers do.
Hey, look at that head coach.
Here come nine wins.
Yeah.
He is.
Just keep the ship floating.
Head coach nine wins right now. All right, there you go. That's a little buy or sell here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you playing along on the text line. Coming up next, let's talk more about this Texas schedule, because we started talking about our biggest worries and confidence for these games, these mm-hmm. major matchups for the Texans this year. And I still want to dig into it, including, obviously, some of the big matchups like facing off against Kansas City. Let's dig into that next.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Life offers us choices. When shopping for a luxury SUV, you should have the same benefit. The 2025 Lincoln Corsair SUV offers a traditional gas powertrain and the plug-in hybrid Grand Touring model. The spirit of choice continues with several available features to leave you reinvigorated, including perfect position massaging front seats, the jet appearance package, panoramic vista roof, and more. With an impressive list of both standard and available features, the right choice becomes clear. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary.
When a cold has you down, it's the little comforts that lift you up. A warm blanket, a cup of tea, and a tissue that actually feels good on your skin. Infused with aloe, Kleenex Cooling Plus Aloe provides a hint of cooling freshness to help your skin feel restored. So, whether your skin is feeling dry, chafed, or irritated, you're only one wipe away from helping it feel relieved. So, the next time you have a cold, get a hint of instant cooling relief with new Kleenex Cooling Plus Aloe. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.